Good morning. Well, in some ways, I feel like Jared really makes me feel larger than life right now. I do appreciate the warning about being an engineer, so you guys can go ahead and work out any preconceived notions of how this is going to go. So we started a new sermon series a few weeks ago with a goal of casting a vision of what we want to be and who we desire to be like here at Norris Ferry. At Norris Ferry Church, we desire to be a church who is known for multiplication, that's characterized by intentional discipleship, radical generosity, and personal holiness. We spent the first 2 weeks of the series talking about how we are called to be multipliers, how we as a church desire to multiply to other places, and how us personally are called for that. Last week, Jared got us introduced into what a disciple is. And so today we're going to continue our discussion on that. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this morning with your word, that you would put on our hearts just how to be obedient to your calling for us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me, speak through me, and that Lord, as we hear this calling to be disciples, that we would take that seriously and learn from your truths. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so I don't know if this acronym is still used today, but when I was growing up and you liked a girl, you had to muster up the courage and go have a conversation with her. And then that led to hanging out and more conversations, but somewhere along the way, you had to DTR. Or define this relationship. I bet you didn't see that coming. And so for us, the same thing is here. We have to, so when we think about that relationship, maybe that brings you back to memories of high school or college. Maybe they're good memories, maybe they're awkward. But for me, there became a point in time where I was pursuing my now wife, Hillary, and I had to determine where this relationship was going. I liked her a lot, but didn't know where this conversation was going, so we had to define that. But in my case, my wife Hillary would agree with me that, you know, early in the process, I wasn't great at this DTR process. You know, for me, as a freshman in college, not very many serious dating relationships. I'll be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of experience. And so there was a lot of frustration and bumpy roads along the way with my lack of communicating my desire to be her boyfriend. And thankfully, she fortunately became my girlfriend over time, but it required that communication and understanding of where we stood. So understanding our roles in relationships is important. Whether it's relationship with your spouse, with your kids, your friends, coworkers, community group members. Each of those relationships has different needs. And when we know about that, the people around us are more available to us caring for them in that. So I think it's important to correctly define and understand what discipleship is and what it is not. So I want to DTR this morning with four key terms. And we're gonna put them up and just so you know, we're going to come back and touch them again. So if you're trying to jot them down, we'll be back at it. So the first one, disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Second one, discipleship, is intentionally equipping believers with the Word of God through accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. The third one, evangelism, is sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with someone to help them know and follow Jesus, to know and follow Jesus as Lord through repentance and faith. And then the fourth point, disciple making, is intentionally entering into someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus, evangelism, and helping them to obey his commands, discipleship. So I know there's got to be some people in this room who have had experience in a disciple mentor relationship before, but I'm guessing that there's a lot of people in this room that have never been in a disciple-making relationship before. And so as a church who is characterized by intentional discipleship, I want to take some time walking through what that looks like by breaking down each of these four topics. So starting back with the first one, disciple, or apprentice, as the author John Mark Comer likes to say, is a devoted follower of Christ, of Jesus. So Jared preached last week on what a disciple is and what it means to be a disciple. He challenged us to examine our own hearts and to see if we've given every part of our lives to the Lord or if we're holding onto areas we're not willing to surrender. Jesus calls us to believe in him and obey. No one drifts towards obedience without a great grace-given effort. We see the effects of not obeying Christ throughout times in our lives. Alternatively, when we pursue Christ and are in his word, we see the benefits. See, what comes into your mind will go out of your mouth. Do you see the effects of obeying him and the blessings it has on your life? Paul talks in Romans 6 about how we're called to flee from sin and pursue the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, 12 through 14 reads, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." For those that are followers of Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are empowered to sin no more. The gospel gives us that ability to sin no more. Listen to this. Jesus called us to be disciples, not Christians. We live in a free grace culture where obeying is optional, but Jesus expects his followers to be obedient. As apprentices of Jesus, let's move beyond asking the question, are you a Christian? And let's ask the question, are you a follower of Jesus? And if you are, how are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? So this brings us to our second point. So we understand what a disciple is. We'd find that discipleship is intentionally equipping believers with the word of God through accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. I'll read that one again. It's a mouthful there. Discipleship is intentionally equipping believers with the word of God through accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. So discipleship is a process of devoting oneself to a teacher to learn from and become more like them. For Christians who are in community, this refers to the process of learning. Let's not be theology thin. We've been given the word of God and we've been given brains that we can think and we can know who God is. And we've been empowered to do that. There's no category in the Bible of, I believe in Jesus, but yet I don't follow him. It just doesn't exist. People are not accidentally discipling other people. But yet, it's not uncommon to find people who say, I believe in Jesus, but there's no fruit and no pursuit of Jesus. So we can't assume that because we've been believers for a while, that we're following the Lord's commands. Longevity in church doesn't equal maturity. Discipleship can be compared in some ways to a residency program. It is an intentional focus on your walk with the Lord with the influence of godly men and women for a season of time. So we've got a lot of medical people here. We've got some doctors, we've got some med students, and that's a process. You go and you get an undergraduate degree, and you apply for med school, you go through the ups and downs of medical school, and then you learn the academic knowledge. But then after that, in order to practice, you've got to go work under an experienced doctor in a residency program so that you are prepared with hands-on experience to go and treat people out in the real world. So it's beneficial to have mature believers who pour into our lives during various seasons to help guide us in putting our knowledge and faith into practice. So I'm going to give you four discipleship truths here. Discipleship is a process of being in God's word until it begins to come out of you. So again, that's discipleship is the process of being in God's word until it begins to flow out of you in the conversations that you have and the way you treat other people. It's just a natural flowing out of that. Discipleship guides us to selflessly go to the nations with the gospels. So discipleship guides us to selflessly go to the nations with the gospel. Discipleship empowers us to always be on mission for the gospel. And then the last one, discipleship reminds us to live for the glory of God. So my third point this morning is evangelism. I think many people in here are familiar with this term. I think these four terms often get mixed up interchangeably. And so again, the goal is to separate those and define them properly. Evangelism is sharing the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ with someone to help them know and follow Jesus as Lord through repentance and faith. In Robbie Gallaty and Chris Swain's book, Replicate, they warn of the dangers of the half-gospel. Many Christians that evangelize are only focused on getting people to follow Jesus without a plan on what to do after. The half-gospel allows Christians to be consumers instead of co-workers. We were saved not only from the world, but we were saved for the world. Otherwise, when we became believers, the Lord would have just ushered up into heaven. But that's not what happened. He's got other plans for us. He's got purpose for us here on this earth other than just to be consumers. If you're a believer, there's likely one or more people that have had an influence in your life that have pointed you towards Jesus. I'm personally thankful for my parents who told me about Jesus and men and women along my life that have shared the gospel with me. But when we look back at our personal testimonies of how the Lord saved us, they're not always the easiest journeys. Some of you guys have been fortunate to have come to know the Lord early in life, and you've been protected from heartache and trials and tribulations along the way. But that's not the case for everybody. Other of you have faced significant loss and much pain to see how much the Lord cares about you. Our main verses this morning, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, are Jesus' commands to go and make disciples. But right before that, in Matthew 27, we see the ultimate love story. Our Savior, who lived a perfect life, who came and died for our sins, was betrayed and killed. He sacrificed it all for you and for me. And he wants to have a relationship with you. This requires action on your part. So you must choose to define the relationship. Are you going to trust and follow him or are you not? But as Jared talked about last week, if you're going to choose to follow him, it's going to cost you everything. When we said yes to Jesus, we may not have realized it at the time, but it was going to cost us everything. But we see when we refuse to surrender everything to Jesus, that is when we're often overcome by sin. So this brings me to our fourth point, disciple making. Disciple making is intentionally entering into someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus and helping them obey his commands. Again, I'll read that. Disciple making is intentionally entering into somebody's life to help them follow, know and follow Jesus and helping them obey his commands. Too often, Christians only focus on telling the good news about Christ and have little or no follow-up. It's almost like spiritual neglect. New, born-again Christians are typically left to fend for themselves after becoming Christians with no direction. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, we're told that it is our job not only to tell people about the good news of Jesus, but also to show them Jesus as well. It reads, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, that in what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Faithful men and women, you have been entrusted to teach others about Jesus. That means talking to and walking with people in this life for the purpose of sharing Christ's love with others. For me personally, thinking back to college was a tremendous moment of spiritual growth, a period of time for me where I really began to understand the gospel. And looking back on that, I'm so thankful for my college pastor at the time who took time to invest in me. He took time to stay late after the college night services to talk with me about life. He spent time meeting me late at the Huddle House over in Ruston, eating some junky food. He spent early mornings with me cooking breakfast at his house where I got to walk and see how he parented. And most importantly, he taught me the importance of the gospel and knowing God's word and having scripture memory in my heart and on my minds. And that is one of the most important things early in my Christian walk. So after I finished college, my wife, Hillary, and I moved here to Shreveport, and I was looking for that, another relationship like that. And fortunately for me, I had the honor of spending time with one of the greatest men who's ever been in this church. Jerry Planchock was one of the founding members of this church. And if you don't know Jerry, if you didn't know Jerry before he passed away a few years ago, just a tremendous man of knowing the word of God and who lived it out in his life. I see a lot of heads nodding out there, and I know those who knew Jerry know he represents that well. And I was thankful to be able to get to spend time with him, and he always pointed me back to the truth of the gospel. Robbie Galdi, he's an author and pastor in Tennessee. He's also had a huge influence in my life. His method of D groups, discipleship groups, have molded the way that I pursued discipleship. I've been honored to be in discipleships with many great men. Some of the guys that are in this room today that I've had the opportunity to walk with, men who have held me accountable to being in God's word, who have held me accountable to being a good husband, who have held me accountable to being memorizing scripture and having that on my mind. And I've had the joys and I've had ups and downs walking through good times and hard times. In weddings, I've been to funerals, but I am a better man today because of each of those groups that I was a part of. The D groups or disciple groups that I'm talking about, they're not complicated. They don't have to go through intimidating textbooks or studies. What it looks like in my case is we gather with a group of 3 to 5 guys and we commit to meeting together for 12 to 18 months. We work through a reading plan, and so every week we're reading the same plan and we get to talk about what the Lord's taught us each week when we get together. We commit to learning scripture memory. And at the end of the day, we commit to being there for one another and praying for each other. This hasn't required that I have a seminary degree or any other special credentials. I'm just a normal guy that follows Jesus. We are called to be disciple makers. And at this church, we want to be characterized by a church that makes disciples and our love for others through this multiplication effort, which brings us back to our verses today, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Jesus calls us to action. Go, therefore. We cannot sit by and be satisfied with a decision that we made one time to trust in the Lord. This trusting relationship is a perpetual event which requires much from us. It compels us to move forward in the mission. And this should be the most important aspect over any other priorities in our lives. We are called to be disciple makers. We need to be intentional in pursuing relationships with others that have a goal of walking together in the pursuit of Christ. We are called to evangelize, which leads other people to knowing Christ and becoming baptized. We have been called to teach God's commandments to others. Now, there are many great reasons that Jared gets paid to be the senior pastor here at Norse Ferry. And I would say one of the great reasons is he does a phenomenal job at teaching us God's word. I think a lot of you guys would agree with that. And as you can probably tell by now, I am not getting paid to preach to you this morning. I'm not as eloquent in my presentation, and as opposed to the 4-bullet-point note card that Jared usually has in his Bible up here, I've got a whole manuscript to keep my thoughts together. This isn't my normal stage of ministry. And for almost all of you guys, with the exception of some of you guys sitting on the front row here, it's not your normal stage of ministry either. My normal ministry is this: parenting. I'm the parent of 4 little kids who need to know about Jesus. And I can regularly teach his ways to them. I'm not going to lie, this isn't always easy. Because I'm standing up here doesn't mean I am that much better at it than any of you guys. But it's the pursuit of teaching them God's word. Anybody in here can read a Jesus picture book Bible. It's not hard. Some nights it doesn't happen, and that's okay. It's not about the pursuit. It's about the pursuit, not checking a box. Marriage. I am the husband of a godly woman who needs me to be intentional in pursuing Christ first in our marriage. Friendship. I'm the friend of godly men who pick me back up when I failed to do the first two very well. And they're counting on me to pick them back up in the same capacity. D groups. I can make time to spend an hour or so every week with a small group of guys teaching them God's word and his goodness. I've met with D groups at 5:30 in the morning. I've met with them at lunchtime. I've met with them in the evening. Made time to do it. And I can use friendships to teach coworkers and neighbors about God's goodness and how wonderful it is to follow the Savior of this world. And you can too. If we're not careful, we compartmentalize our entire Christian life into 1 or 2 hours that we spend in this building every week. So the question is, are you living the Christian life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Your neighborhood is a mission field for the gospel, where people are brought from all over the country or the world and might live on your street, and you have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. In this room, there are kids or even adults who have come to know the Lord because of their parents. There are parents in this room who have come to know the Lord because of their kids. There are neighbors who have come to know the Lord because someone who lived a few doors down cared to share the gospel with them. Maybe it was a college roommate or a friend, but the common theme in all this is it required a relationship and somebody to be obedient. At Norse Ferry, we want to be a church who's characterized by intentional discipleship. We desire for our people to be maturing followers of Christ, to be godly men and women who reproduce and multiply in our lives. We've got core classes during the middle hour every week that are aimed at teaching you how to do this and equipping you in that way. But if you don't know where to start, just start somewhere. Start by asking the Lord to give you direction and offer and guidance in that. But I'll offer a few suggestions. Parents of young children, if you don't know Rebecca, our children's minister, you need to. You should also consider getting signed up for parenting milestone events that we offer. If you haven't participated in those yet, they are incredible tools for both young and seasoned parents with young kids. Parents of middle schoolers, high schoolers, get to know our youth minister, Patrick. When you talk to him, ask him for ways to disciple your students in these pivotal years of their lives. Both Rebecca and Patrick would love to share tangible ways and equip you with how to share the gospel with your kids. Men, take inventory of the other men in your lives that you can meet with regularly for a period of time. And hold each other accountable to being in God's work. Your work, your hobbies, your family, those are all great places to start to look for somebody that you can be in a discipling relationship with. Stop letting time pass you by. You will be a better man for it. Ladies, you need other godly women in your life that you can walk through Scripture with. In spite of, or maybe in place of, all the busy tasks in your lives, you need to make time to gather up with other women and be consistent in meeting together. If you keep waiting for someone else to reach out to you first, it may never happen. All right, if you've attended a Joy group event, raise your hand. Okay, we got a good showing here. For those of you that are in the Joy group here at Norse Ferry, that's those that identify in the 60-ish range, and you guys bring so much to the table here. Your knowledge and wisdom and time is what we need. There are so many people here that would love to have a relationship with you in a walk in reading God's word together. All right, NFCC Young Adults, has anybody participated in an NFCC Young Adult event? Back there, close. All right, you might be the only two. The rest of them are in the early service. All right, here's the deal. Don't waste your 20s and 30s spiritually wandering around aimlessly. Make the most of this season of your life. There are people in this church that want to have a discipling relationship with you and share their wisdom and love. But that may mean that you need to take the first step and ask somebody to enter into that relationship. Students, I see there's not very many of them left after last week's camp, but I think the theme plays out here because I believe you guys talked about discipleship in this. So students, if you have friends, neighbors, younger siblings, be a good influence to them. Show them Christ's love in the way that you treat them. Ask your parents or Patrick how you can be more intentional in growing as a disciple of Christ. In all of these things, the message is not to try harder or do more things on your own. The message is to obey Christ and his commandments, to live your life on mission, and to trust him. John 15, 1 through 5 reminds us of our need for God and not on our own strength. That reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus promises us that he will be with us always. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do this. Making disciples is a lot like a crock pot recipe and a lot less like a microwave oven. The process takes intentionality, patience, and time. We have been called to be disciples, followers, teachers, learners who apply what we learn and obey what Jesus calls us to do. If you've been around Norse Ferry for any length of time, you'll realize we don't have a whole lot of programs here. We're intentional in that because we want you to be equipped to have discipling relationships with other people. We don't want to just fill your time with events for the sake of filling your time with events. We want you to pursue spiritual relationships with other people in this church, in this community, and beyond for the glory of God. And we would love to have a conversation with you on what that might look like. What that looks like to trust Christ for the first time. If you're a believer, what it looks like to walk in a discipling relationship with other believers. And we've got pastors around that are happy to talk to you about that. But if you felt the Lord calling you, then take action and be obedient. So let's define the relationship. Consider your relationship with Jesus and where you are in that. Jesus loves you and wants you to share his message with other people. Message with family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. So we glorify God when we are doing what Jesus commands us to do, which is going therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. My challenge to you this morning is if the Lord has pressed on your heart action, then just do something. Be faithful in listening to what the Lord's called you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the goodness and the patience that you have with us. Lord, as followers of Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would give us courage and equip us to have relationships with other believers that hold us accountable in our pursuit of you. Lord, we pray that we just have a desire to glorify you in our lives, that we glorify you in the relationships that we have, both personally with you and externally with other people. And Lord, I pray that as we walk, that we look for opportunities with neighbors and friends and coworkers to be on mission for you. Lord, I pray that we're obedient.